Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Barbara Nadas is a singer-songwriter hailing from Hungary and England. She possesses a genre-defying sound that blends elements of pop and soul. From an early age, Barbara honed her craft singing in cover bands, where she expertly fused genres like blues, rock, pop, and disco. Barbara's musical journey has seen her perform at esteemed venues like the Hungarian Operetta Theatre and attend the Berklee 5-week summer performance program. Collaborating with renowned Hungarian producer Christian Burow and other jazz musicians, Barbara has crafted a diverse discography, including hits like Meze, Overthink, and her latest single, Soar. As a rising star in the industry, Barbara's soulful melodies and powerful lyrics resonate with audiences worldwide. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Barbara Nadas. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm in LA currently, but I'm from Budapest originally, and I've just been to New York recently, so I'm pretty much all over, and that's what I wish for myself in the future as well.
Lovely. Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in this music world, and how did that journey progress?
I think I've been singing since I was 5. So I try to like sing the songs that I heard in the radio.
Yes.
Or on TV. And I started to play the drums and sing in some teenage bands. And the point when I decided that I love songwriting and I would like to be a recording artist was when I did my first song in a studio with the producer. And I think that was the moment when I was just so happy to listen to my new fresh demo in my car after I got out from the studio. And I was just amazed by the process of creating.
Why the drums? What attracted you to pick up those drumsticks?
I mean, my grandmother wanted to convince me to learn the piano. We had the piano everywhere, and my grandmother's and my mother's and my father's. My parents were separated since I was like 1. So that was like important to have an instrument that I actually can rehearse no matter where I am. And I saw a picture of my father playing the drums as a teenager. He wasn't a musician. He just did it for fun, pretty much. And so my granny wanted to convince me for the piano, just to learn an instrument and not to be a musician, actually. I don't think she wanted that. She convinced me way too good. And I was like, you know what? You want me to learn an instrument? That's all right. But then I'm going to learn the drums. And I was like, I don't know, 5 or 6. So... And he found me. He found me a drum teacher, and it was really funny and lovely. I think I really looked cute, but then just started singing, started to took over kind of because I started to play the drums and sing, and for that reason I didn't really improve my drums skills so much that I don't consider myself to be a drummer. And I don't know, it was always just easier to sing because even without any rehearsals, I could sing better than I played the piano, played the drums. Yeah.
And do you ever pick up the drumsticks now still or not at all?
Yeah, sometimes I go and take some lessons just for fun because it helps me to focus and concentrate. Obviously, you have to concentrate on 4 things, and it just, it doesn't allow you to think about anything else. So right now it's probably like a meditation for me.
Now, you referenced that you went into the studio to record your first demo or your first demo, and you loved the creative process of that creation. Were there any aspects of it that surprised you that was like, oh, I didn't realize that this would be part of that process, or did it just come naturally?
Oh, definitely. I showed my a cappella recording to a music producer, and I wasn't aware of it that you can produce a song in like a couple of hours in a studio. So that was not a thing in my head. I thought we need like record a full band. I was I'm not sure what I was thinking. I think I grew up pretty like conservative music wise, singing always in music bands. So, you know, that was production was really new to me. And like parts that I thought would be the chorus or the verse, the producer did it a little bit differently and it came out better. And he gave me a little bit of homework to write a new chorus, because for the part that I thought it would make the chorus, actually it was the pre-chorus. So I just started to learn the process, and I was like, creating something from scratch is I think probably the first priority in my head, or the most exciting thing to me.
How did then that demo and then now transition to be you becoming a professional? What were those next steps?
We then wrote a couple of songs, and when we felt like then it's good enough, I made a small music video, and people liked it. And then this artist actually did a featuring with me, because he was like, hey, you're good, I should do a part in one of your songs. And he started to blow up at that time, and so it reached more and more people. And because I've been singing in a cover band since the age of 14, I already loved performing so much, and just performing my originals was like a different level and different feeling, and definitely a thing I want to do. Yeah, and still don't know if I'm crazy or not that I want to do this full time, but that's fate, I guess.
What is the difference between performing originals compared to performing covers?
When it comes to my originals, I never forget my lyrics because I wrote the lyrics. But also, like, I know the intentions of the song, the intentions behind the song more. So I would say definitely more emotional for me. Performing covers, I did them so much that, you know, even like singing, I don't know, Strong Enough by Cher, it made me think always on something different and the current story of my life when I performed it. And obviously when I perform my original, I think back of my intention and the reason why I wrote that song.
So it's interesting you brought that up about the lyrics and the words and remembering them. I've also often seen people at concerts like with, and I always wonder myself, how do they remember all those words? And from your experience and observation and perceptions, is it because you firsthand wrote them? And so you know the intention, as you've said, you know the through line, you know the thread, and that makes it easier to remember them.
I think it definitely makes it easier to remember, because you know how you build it up, you know, what was the idea behind the song, what did you feel when you wrote it. I don't want to lie, it sometimes happens that you can forget your original lyrics as well. And if I'm learning somebody else's lyrics, I always try to remember some key points, like, you know, what comes next in that line and what could be like a build up in this song or in the lyrics. And yeah, it's obviously, I think, easier to remember like your own or ideas probably. Yeah. For me, and I don't know for other musicians.
Yeah. How do you create a song? What is your process?
There are multiple processes to create songs, and it always changes for me as well. Sometimes I just have an idea meanwhile I'm walking on the street or I'm driving, and I recorded it on my phone. It's always an emotion that I want to express something. And whether the melody or the lyrics comes first, I usually put them together. Even if we will change it later, I like to have just something. And I usually come up also with a title, or actually like the key meaning of the song, what my message wants to be in that song. And we pretty much build the song around them. But it also happens sometimes, like currently I'm in LA and we close ourselves in the studio with my producer and we've been jamming the whole day and we came up with a bunch of song ideas. And so we did it backwards. He started to play some chords on the piano, on the guitar, and I came up with some melodies, and and some good songs were born. So, but I, even if we do it this way, I love to have just like a title or some parts of the lyrics that I can remember. That's I want to be the message of the song.
Do you always write the lyrics by yourself, or do you collaborate with others?
I like to write off lyrics by myself, but I always like to collaborate. But with the collaboration, I think it's important that you have your, you should keep your like original feeling behind the song or original idea. And if that works, then the collaboration is great. If not, it still can be great and the song still can, you know, hit or whatever. But I think it's just, for me, it's important that I can really feel what I sing about.
So collaborating with others, I mean, writing songs rather, very vulnerable, because it's about your feelings, your heart's on your sleeve, so to speak. So when you're collaborating with an artist or other writers that you have not collaborated with before, do you take time to get to know them, to understand them, or do you just dive straight in?
Definitely, it's like a therapy session.
Okay.
We wrote a song another day with a girl who actually had me with the lyrics, and it was a breakup song. So I probably told, I think, everything about my last relationship that was important regarding the lyrics. So it's definitely a vulnerable position, but I don't mind. I think I'm a pretty open personality, and probably I sometimes even overshare. So that's all right for me. Yeah.
Okay. So you've referenced about the feeling of the song. So that's why I'm bringing up this topic. I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP. So NLP is let me start that again. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. As part of that, there's a subsection, processing skills. And each of us have a dominant one, a secondary one, and a tertiary one. Dominance means that you'll be in it most of the day, secondary a couple of hours, tertiary if at all. Now, there are three of them. You have visual processing people. So visual people create pictures in the information they hear. So while I'm talking now, they'll be seeing a picture in their mind. Auditory people, it's about the words, the lyrics, the paragraphs, the sentences. They understand each of the words and then put it into a paragraph, and that's how they process. Kinesthetic people, it's about the emotion, the feeling, the energy, the tone of voice, all those different aspects. Now, focusing specifically on music, because it might be different in other areas of your life, but when you're listening to music of your own or of others, but is it about the pictures? Is it about the lyrics? Or is it about the emotion and the feeling?
Definitely, I think about the emotion. And I always try to, I always think about a story. If it would be already a music video or something. So it's hard to compare, because if you think about the emotion and you think about the story in your head, you already have some pictures also.
Yeah.
Probably some colors that would match the song or anything like that.
I think that you're dominant emotional, because you reference it's always about the feeling. And then your secondary, your visual kick in. And you're talking about music videos. So what do you enjoy about creating music videos?
First, when I created my first video, it was pretty much the vision of the director. And then after creating a couple of videos, I started to have my own visions. I love it that it doesn't have to necessarily align the lyrics or to the song. It can be like a completely different story as well. I'm pretty much exploring. I love storytelling. I think so. If there's a story or there's an ending that makes you think, I love to, or it's like kind of mysterious at the end and you don't really know what happened. You can just guess. And my last music video will be actually a little bit funny. That's my first music video that's going to be this way. So we weren't focusing on, like, you know, wearing the nicest outfits or looking full glam. Mm. It's going to be really, there are some comedy aspects in them. And it's great because I think that I love joking and around. And so I think I'm a fun person in my personal life. And I never really showed it in my music videos. So I'm really excited also about this new way of storytelling as well. Honestly, I'm enjoying shooting music videos. I know some musicians don't really, like, it's not their main thing, but I love it when a vision comes to life, because it's almost the same process when creating music. You create something from scratch and then there's going to be an end result. So I think I just love the creation process of it as well.
So that comedic one you mentioned, is that the one that you filmed in Mexico?
No, that's going to be actually a Hungarian song with my collaborator. And it's about a guy who is a little bit too gangster to me regarding the song who I dated. I pretty much like him, but, you know, I just have second thoughts about him being my boyfriend or being a cheater or like a best guy. So actually, that's why the music video is funny.
Okay.
Because the song is also a little bit like, you know, there are some fun lines in it. We haven't shoot the Mexico one yet, but I'm thinking on it to make it in the same direction as this one. Because I also have some funny lines in it. And this, I like to like lighten up topics like, I don't know, cheating or like even grief, that are sad stories, but in the end you can handle it with humor and it helps a lot, I think.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for the hard, incredible work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous. I'm not sure if you're aware, you may or may not be, physicals on a massive comeback around the world. The year before last, 5.9 million sales of vinyls in the UK. Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And there needs to be a certain amount of exchanges every day for a product to be in this basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids that are diving into this world. And then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I love that CDs and vinyls are coming back. I also have a vinyl player in my at my home. So I just love it. And I already ordered, actually, my CD on vinyls. I still have to send a couple of emails, but I mean, they are pretty much on the way. So I love it. I have so much CDs in my car. It's really ridiculous because I know you can find all kinds of music on the streaming platforms, but I just want to, you know, put on and listen them analog. So, and it's greatest song ever, I think. So, yeah, pretty much with the old ones, like, they are unbelievable.
And the sound quality, also, I totally agree with you. What do you enjoy about performing live? You've had performed at New York. What do you enjoy about that experience of being on stage and performing live?
Performing live is always a journey. You have your current mood that you have to deal with or put it in those songs that you sing. Luckily, I mean, I wish I could perform always with a band. It's not always that I have a full band, but you have your musicians behind you, and it's also a different energy, and different people also put different emotions and feelings to that current song. And you have the crowd there, and they always react also differently to some of the songs. So, like, each performance is pretty much an investigation to your soul, I would say.
Oh, wow, I love that. Investigation to your soul. That's beautiful. I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two pictures, one or two videos, and then I'll put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing, they're tweeting, they're posting. They engage with the phone for a lot more than focusing on what's in front of them. From your observation of being on stage and potentially seeing a bunch of phones, do you feel that takes away from the energy of the interaction of the audience, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I mean, if you record the whole show, I think it definitely takes away from the experience. Sometimes I'm also doing it. I mean, I'm not recording the whole show, but I'm recording a bunch of videos. And honestly, I don't really watch them after the show. The whole thing just doesn't really make sense. But at the same time, I understand, and I'm really thankful if people share my shows in their story, because that's how you spread your music into the world nowadays. I would rather see a bunch of fans and tagging me on Instagram and spreading my music than not. Okay.
It's also representation that the audience are enjoying the experience.
Yeah, but I definitely don't recommend to, like, you know, record a whole song or the whole show, because I think it's pretty much more enjoyable live and not through your screen.
Now, we were talking about your music earlier and the creation process, and the fires in LA inspired one of your tracks. Obviously, a devastating thing that happened over there. Still, so many people affected, thinking and sharing thoughts of them and for them. What inspires your music writing? We went through the creative process earlier, but what are the different things that or triggers in your world that allow that creativity to shine through?
Environmentalism is definitely one of them. I also have another record, Lawyer of the Earth, on my CD that I just performed on Times Square at the Earth Day event. Lord Give Me the Rain was inspired by the fires, because I felt the urgent need to just do something. And it's hard to do something if you're not working in this field or politics, or you're not like an environmentalist activist. And I feel like music is a great asset to raise awareness and do something, like, creatively. It's also resonates with your brain. So even that you are aware of it, if you're listening to music, it can, like, a little bit changes your thoughts or emotions. So I find this need, and I think it is like a creative way of processing to me what's happening in the world. So it also helps me. And also with my traumas or whatever, it serves me as well, that I can write it down, and it's probably easier to tell those things in a song than to my therapist.
It's a form of therapy, because often therapists or energy people, they always say journal, write what you're feeling. And that's exactly what the songwriters and your artists are doing. You write what you're feeling. So it is a form of therapy. And every artist I've spoken to over 400 artists now, have all said the same thing in different words.
Yeah, it's definitely a therapy. And it's so funny, because you can't really lie in music and in lyrics. Because it's sung.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yes, You just gave me an aha moment.
Thank you. I don't know how it is, just then sounds weird. And it's like catchable that something is off with that melody or that lyrics. I don't know. You're just not being honest here, you know? So it's really, really interesting. Yeah.
So I'm sure that the person who's creating the song is not being authentic and is not being true to their feelings. Either it will never come to fruition, it will never be released, or the audience will pick it up.
Yeah. And it's not always that, oh my God, I want to write a song now. It's sometimes I'm just making notes. Or for example, I wrote like two monologues to my talking to my granny, my lost granny. And it ended up being a part of a song because a piano recording of my friends inspired me so much that I was like, we should put this monologue together with this piano melody. So sometimes art just creates itself.
Tell us a little bit more about the Earth Day, the performing at Earth Day.
Performing at the official Earth Day event on Times Square was such an experience that even the sound check in the morning was already unbelievable. And just the fact that I'm in New York, you know, I'm having my breakfast and then I jump on the subway in my performing clothes and I'm in a rush to Times Square. It was like, it was great. And everything was just great about it. I loved it. And I love that actually this song got this opportunity because Lawyer of the Earth is really for a good purpose.
I love that, Lawyer of the Earth. Such a beautiful title. And also your description of rushing there in your outfit sounds very, I've been to New York for a few days. And it sounds very like a New York experience, rushing through,
it is.
Pushing your way through, getting there.
Yeah, even if you're on time, you're rushing. Like,
exactly.
Because everyone does.
Barbara, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 years, 5 minutes, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorites, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And what songs would you play of theirs if songs come to mind?
I love Amy Winehouse. She's so classic and she inspired me to write songs as well. So, and I pretty much love her song, Valerie. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of my granny as well with the red hair thing. And, I love Eric Clapton, B.B. King,
mm-hmm.
pretty much the classics. I also love new music like Dua Lipa's new album is great. I love Houdini. Houdini was Hungarian originally, so it's like, yeah, I think pretty much these people. And I would probably listen to some electronic music as well or some house music to cheer me up. I love Running Around by Ali Oaks.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
Listen to music, love your planet Earth, and love your brother and mother, like everyone around you, even if they are not, I don't know, supporting you, or even if they made something bad in your childhood. Childhood traumas are very common nowadays. I would say love and forgive, and if you can't, then say it in music. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.